These two readings are the last of the Christmas season. It ends tomorrow with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And so we have these two conclusions. The Gospels we have been taking, as I pointed out before, selections of different Gospels, not a series as we usually have during any season, when we'll start one, Monday. But examples of what it means that God has become incarnate among us. So we had healings, we had teachings, we had, you know, just examples of Jesus healing the leper, if you remember, all these. Today we have the last witness of the Old Testament to the Messiah. Here's John, and he's saying, look, I am not the Christ. I am the last of the prophets, and my task has been not to announce his coming, but to point him out. Here he is, and that's the role. So that all that millennial preparation that God had done in his people, which produced these saints, these scholars, these great people, and whose words and deeds done in the power of God are recorded in the Old Testament. And here we have then the conclusion. He must increase, I must decrease. At the same time, in the we have these the last 8 verses of the first letter of John. First part is all about prayer. We have this confidence in him: if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked for from him is ours. So then he goes on with a very difficult passage. If someone should see his brother sinning in a sin not unto death, he shall ask, and he will give him life. This is for those sinning but not unto death. There is a sin unto death. Not in regard to that do I say that he should pray. All unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin not unto death. This passage is where we get the basic theological distinction between venial and mortal sin. Mortal is the Latin word for deadly. Kills you. Now, it takes, if you remember, the church teaches us there has to be serious matter, sufficient reflection, and full consent of the will before it's a deadly sin. Serious matter. You know, sufficient reflection and full consent of the will. Now, the way that the scriptures teach us is you look first, is it a serious matter? Then it is going to set loose evil in this world. It's going to redound to the person who commits that sin. It's going to redound to evil in the whole world. It's serious. Culpability, that's the other two. I've given an example before. I give this example in class, trying to help people get this. Suppose a 14-year-old girl gets pregnant. Her parents tell her to get a divorce. Her boyfriend tells her to get a divorce. The school counselor tells her to get a divorce. All her friends are telling her to get an abortion. So the pastor tells her to get an abortion. So she has an abortion. Does she commit a grave sin? Absolutely. She just murdered somebody. And she induced 5 or 6 other people to cooperate in this murder at the abortion clinic. That's deadly sin. Did it kill her? She's 14. Is there sufficient reflection and full consent of the will? Poor kid. But she's going to carry this the rest of her life. And she's going to need, you know, so much help to understand the mercy of God and to enter into this mercy and be forgiven. But the church will never say, oh, well, it's not serious, because the scriptures don't say that. The scriptures are telling us this is a deadly sin. It works death. Culpability, that's something else. And that's why John says, if it isn't deadly, I mean, people who are hardened, oh, this, we can pray for everybody because we really don't know. But I mean, people who are doing abortions, you know, 10 and 12 a day, have any idea what their heart is like? Talk about hard, unfeeling, you know? It's frightening. This is why we're all concerned about this FOCA business. It will set loose a hardness and an evil in this country. That is unbelievable. So we pray for the person. Because if they have not entered into this fully, they have done serious harm to themselves and they have set loose serious evil in this world. But they can be saved. That's the greatness of the cross of Christ. That's the greatness of the mercy of God. And that's what is being taught to us here, huh? Then he goes on to say, everyone born of God does not sin, because there's a principle of life in us, and if we will yield to that, we will not sin. Did you ever hear that in confession? Why don't we, you know, ever say to somebody, well, you wouldn't, I would, but I mean, you know, you can stop this. You don't have to sin anymore. It's over. You're born of God. You have God's life in you. Yield to that life, and you won't sin. That's the good news. The good news is we can be free of darkness and sin. We can have peace. We can have our whole life turn outward and be concerned about God and about God's people and about the whole world and be normal. And that's why he tells us that. And then his last piece of advice, you'd think, little children, guard yourself against idols. An idol is something to which we give ultimate significance. It can be my bank account, it can be my reputation, can be all sorts of things. They're idols. They have an ultimate significance for us. And that's an idol. And that will keep you from that kind of devotion and freedom with God that our Lord wants us to have, for which he died. So that's John's last piece of advice during this Christmas season. It ends with those words about idol. There's other words which I didn't have time and I don't have time to treat of now. And it is, you see, Jesus, you see. We are in the one who is true, who is God the Father. And in his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life.